We were holding about expressing love. It's important to express affection, not only in the bedroom. And that's one of the things that I meant to illustrate with the story of the Chafetz Chaim. Whether it's true or it isn't true, that's irrelevant to me. The point is important. One shouldn't give up on an opportunity to express affection. Do we have a Gemara here?
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, yeah, we need a Gemara Ksubas. I'll leave it. We'll quote it a different time. The Gemara records that they used to have beds that had a canopy over them. It's called Kilash al Chatanim. And we know that when a couple is permitted, when the woman is pure, then they're allowed to sleep on the same bed or on two beds that are touching. And at the time that the couple is forbidden, so the beds have to be separated. So the Gemara says that if a person is with his wife and they're forbidden, she's a nida, so notice, what do we say? They are forbidden. Make a mental note of that. Many husbands speak about this time as she's a nida. She's forbidden. She's impure. That's not a nice way to talk. When we speak about this time, we speak about a time that we, as a couple, are forbidden to be together. It's not that she is something. It's we. We're a couple. We're in this together. So the Gemara records that if a couple are going to sleep and they're forbidden, they're in two separate beds and the beds are separated, and someone else is lying in the room. Let's say they're all guests by the grandparents. There's a simcha. Someone says, you know, there's no room here and there's no room there to sleep. Can I sleep in your guy's room? What are they going to say? No. Sometimes you're in a situation where you don't want to say no. So the Gemara says if someone sleeps in a room where a couple wants to go to sleep, even when the couple is forbidden. So it's not like because he's there they won't be able to do something intimate, because they weren't going to do anything intimate anyways because they're forbidden at that point. So the Gemara says the Pasuk speaks badly about such a person. The Pasuk says, Neshei amit garishun, the women of my nation you chase out, mi beta nuga, from their house of pleasure. What's the Gemara referring to? The Gemara means that there's supposed to be intimate conversation before a couple goes to sleep. It's a time they're alone in the bedroom. And they're going to have a certain conversation. Now, when the couple is forbidden, so they're limited in what they could say. They're not allowed to say certain things that they would say otherwise. But still, the conversation that's going to go on is a conversation between a couple before they go to sleep. And when he's there, they can't have that conversation. And that's called Neshei Amita Garishun Nibeta Anuga. He's chasing out the woman from the house which she, her house of pleasures. Because as we discussed last time, for women, one of the greatest modes of connection, of expressing love, is speech. And intimate speech, all the more so. On the one hand, there's no heter to say Lashon Hara to our wives. We can't come home, even now, I'll get to you in just a second. Even if things were really upsetting, things are really bad, and you come home and she says, What happened? If it's Lashon Hara, she's no different than anyone else. You can't tell her. But there are things which you could tell her. And it's very important to have secrets. Ordinarily, we say don't have secrets. But it's important to tell your wife, you know, I can't tell anyone this. Do me a favor, keep a secret. I want to tell you this. Showing her that you're connecting with her, not only speaking to her a lot, speaking to her over supper, speaking to her during the day, hearing how she is, when she has something to tell, listening. We discussed in our last class that speech is a way of connecting. And for women, much more than men. But having a secret, having something intimate that I'm telling you no one else is hearing, having that last conversation before we go to sleep, that's something that'll bring us even closer. Now, a word to the wives. Don't count on their keeping the secret. If you're going to tell them a secret, tell them something you don't mind will be spilled later. If you told them something you mind will be spilled later, it's your fault when she tells it to her mother or her friend, or she slips and asks you about it in front of your friend. You were warned. Yeah, what do you want to ask?
Just a second.
When you speak about someone coming in the room, is it only during... Two questions. Is it only during the time of Nida, or is it all the time? And the second is, what about your kids coming into the room?
The first thing is it's all the time. The Gemara means to say even in the time of Nida.
Right.
And the second thing, as far as kids, so you and your wife will have to decide. Sometimes kids need to be by their parents' bed. Sometimes they, some parents have a policy only at the foot of the bed. Some parents take them into the bed. Yeah, that's something you'll have to work out for sure.
I'm just asking. Like,
that the Gemara, if the kid's 16 years old, then you hope he has the intellect not to do it. And when you'll get engaged, so you'll learn. I don't know if with me or with someone else. The halachas of how old a child is that a couple is limited in what they do. There are halachas about when the fact that a child is in the room constricts them and when not. As far as when they're permitted to be together. Aside from that, usually. But yeah, children is a different story. And that, again, if the child is old enough.
You were just talking about some random like relative that was in the room?
We're talking about a stranger. Yeah, we're talking about a stranger being in the room. We're not a stranger or any other relative other than a child. Right. Brother-in-law, brother, a parent. Yeah, talking about anyone else. Happens. You'll see when you're guests in places. That happens. Yeah, what do you want to ask? I don't either. You mentioned something. I wanted to get to that. Does anyone remember what he asked?
You know.
You said something. Okay.
I don't
know. So, we said that... Oh, you said, why tell a secret? She's going to spill the beans. So, what I meant is, choose your secrets. Choose the ones that you don't mind if they'll be spilled.
You're going to get a lot of emails for this.
What are you talking about, my husband?
No, so you have to think. You have to. So choose your secrets or make secrets.
So make
you
secrets
can make a secret out of something that isn't. That's not important. Remember, you're investing. It's the best investment in your life. Everything else you do in the world is going to stem from this. A person's source of strength, a person's source of well-being and balance comes from his home. And there's nothing more precious and nothing more worth investing in. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was once seen at the entrance to his home, straightening his tie, getting his jacket straight, putting his hat on right. And his student, who was next to him, said, I see you must have a very important visitor waiting for you, so I won't accompany you. So he said, I do have an important visitor. I'm going to see the Shekhinah when I come to my wife. So when a husband and wife are together, then the Shekhinah rests between them. We're accustomed to dressing up when we go outside. Dressing up when we do everything else. But for our wives, no. So she'll see me in underwear. What's so terrible? I'm not saying there's anything terrible with that. But there's also an aspect where you should also dress up for her. It's her birthday. Dress up. You're coming home. Straighten out your tie. In 5 minutes, you'll take off your tie and feel at home. But why should she see you looking like a schlach? Why should she see you all sweaty and all...
Do you define what schlach is? I know what schlump is.
Figure it out from the context. Okay. So there's an aspect where that's true. And this, if I were giving a class to women, and there are women who are listening to this class also, so this point is doubly true for women. They also have to know that they have a responsibility to dress nicely for their husbands. And what our class here, remember, is not for chasanim. This class is for the 80, 90, 100 years that you're going to spend together with your wives. It's very easy to remember these points and do them the first month that you're married. The trick is to maintain these things throughout the marriage. The trick is to maintain these things till the day you die and to make them habits. And the way to keep doing it is to keep reviewing what you have to do. Get a good book. Get this book, Ishu Beito, in Hebrew and English, and try to implement what you read. There are other good books on the market. I know in Hebrew. I don't know in English what good books there are. There's one book I like a lot. The Bird, the Kettle, and the River. Try to bring it tomorrow, next week. Yeah, you have it here in the library. It's a book that I like a lot. So, we have another 4 minutes. Continue. We were discussing love and the importance to express love. You go to any stationery store, you'll see they sell little square pieces of paper in all kinds of colors. Not stick it, without the glue. Just packages of little square pieces of paper.
Rav Lisman has them in his
office. He has white ones. Get colorful. Doesn't maybe cost another half shekel. It costs you 2 shekel for a pack. You get 100 pieces. That's one of the best investments you can make. Should have those notes. And use them not only the first month you're married. Use them till the day you die. I know one of the people whose marriages I admire most. It's a friend of mine in the United States. That I know every morning he leaves his wife her breakfast with a note. And this is a man who happens to head 3 chesed organizations. He heads fundraising for an orphanage in Israel. He heads another chesed organization in the United States. And there's a third chesed organization that he heads. Talking about a man who doesn't have extra time on his hands. Till 12 o'clock at night, you could call him. He runs all around the world. He has a business where he travels all around the world. But when he's home, he has the time to make breakfast for his wife every morning. And every morning he has the time to write a note. That's something I think we all could learn from. Again, why miss out on an opportunity? Everything in life has its ups and downs. And the feelings for one another between a couple also have their ups and downs. And we think, yeah, 1 minute like this and 1 minute like that. That's true. There are times in life where the ups and the downs are questions of minutes. There are times when you can have an up or a down for an hour. There are times that there are days. There are times that there are weeks. But you have to know that there are times that there are months. And there are times that there are years. People think that if the marriage is in a slump for years, then that marriage isn't good. And that's not true. Marriages have downs for years until they can get back up. Sometimes it's because what one spouse is going through or the other. Sometimes it's because of other things. Sometimes it's because of financial situations. There could be many reasons why a marriage has a down. And the down could last for years. I don't wish it upon anyone, but you have to know it's normal. Unfortunately, we're talking in a generation where it is extremely high. It is extremely high. I don't know if it was ever in history as high as it is now. So that's why I think it's important to remember. In the United States, so they give much less preparation for marriage than they do here. But there's one tip that they give there, which I don't think they give here. And that is that you never say the word divorce in the house. The word divorce, get, never shows up in the house. And I like to expand on that. I always tell Chatanim that ordinarily you work on your traits and try to be a calm and giving person in the house. There's one thing which I expect every husband to react harshly to. And that is any insinuation or any joke about divorce. Don't you dare ever make a joke about divorce. That's something that should be in your blood. And don't even mention the word. We discussed in our first class that the greatest enemy of the engagement period and the first year is the thought that there's someone better out there. Maybe this wasn't the right decision. Almost everyone, let's put it this way. I've sat with many chatanim, and I don't ask all of them what's going on in their minds. I don't know what's going on in everyone's mind. But I could say that everyone who did share with me what was going on in his mind had times of doubt during the engagement period where he thought, did I make the right decision? And that doubt could last till the chuppah. And if we'll ever sit together as a chatan, then we'll expand on it. The problem is that this extends to the first year. And if a person doesn't control himself, it could extend 5 years. And it could extend his whole life. Psychologists have a term for this. That a person spends his married life thinking, I would have been better with that person specifically or with someone else. And the first thing a person has to do is know that it's mind over matter. You have control over your thoughts. But the second thing a person has to do is that he could never insinuate that. The greatest pain a person can inflict on his wife, in my opinion, is by saying a hint, a joke, any insinuation in that direction. In the United States, they have a rule. You don't pull out a gun unless you're going to shoot with it. Because many times a robber came to the house, and a woman would pull out a gun and shake and say, don't move, I'm going to shoot, I'm going to shoot, I'm going to shoot. And he saw that she didn't have the guts to shoot, so he just stepped out of the way where she couldn't shoot him, plucked the gun out of her hand, and killed her. And this happened so many times that people got hurt from taking out a gun that the rule in the United States became you don't pull out a gun until you're ready to shoot. You don't threaten with a gun. But the same thing is true with a get and divorce. You don't threaten with it. You don't discuss it. You don't consider it. You don't bring it up. It's something that, if God forbid, ever has to happen, there's enough time when it actually comes down to writing it and everything else, it can be taken care of. In time of heat or at any other time, even as a joke, one should never say it. And I tell Chatanin, my own personal recommendation is if ever you slip and say something, or she slips and says something, or jokes, the response has to be extra harsh. Then a person should react harshly. Then a person should say, no, I don't want to hear such talk in this house ever. There are things that will never come up in this house. And the stronger a person reacts to it, the more his wife will appreciate it. Because what's he saying when he reacts harshly? He's saying, I don't want to even joke about losing you. I don't want to even insinuate ever having a separation between me and you. He's strengthening the bond between them. So that's when I recommend the person should react harshly. That's when I recommend the person should stress. I don't want to hear it. I don't know why we said this, or you said this, or whatever it is. I beg you never again to say that word in this house. Or however you say it, you figure out how to say it in the context. And if you slipped and said it, then I feel very badly for you, but you better fix it up as best as you can. I know a man who slipped after being married for many, many years, marrying off some children. And then one time he said something to his wife which she mistook, that he was insinuating a get, and it fermented within her for 3-4 years, and the situation kept on going down, and whatever he did, he couldn't fix it. And a few years later, they really got divorced. And he couldn't fix it, because the feeling of rejection, the feeling that maybe he doesn't love me, maybe I'm not the most precious, not maybe, he just insinuated that, that's something that's the most painful thing to a woman. And it's painful to a man too. So we not only have to strengthen our positive, our constantly showing our affection, but we also have to know never to let the negative enter the house. So, supper time.